Page 311, 312.
357 pages.
We are on the line that starts Vizeshika, it starts Shenivra, right in the middle of the page, Vizesha Rosh Amarkasav, Atahu Achalinivra Ha'ilam. And in the Ibru, it is going to be in the right hand side. And it is 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. And thus it is written, you were the same before the world was created. You have been the same without any change. Okay, we left off last time. We're talking about this idea of Ani Hashem lo shenisi. I, Hashem, have not changed. The Pasuk can tell him. And the nuance here, 311, 312, is that we exist, and still, Ani Hashem lo shenisi, I Hashem haven't changed.
Sure, we
exist. Because we don't displace Hashem. As it says, as we lead up to now, V'zesha amar atahu ad sheli nivra ha'olam atahu kulu. We say this in davening every morning in the preliminaries, that you are the way that you were before the world was created, you're the world once the world is created, you don't have any changes, b'li shum shinei v'atzmusei. Without any change to Hashem's essence, v'lay b'dayte, and not with his knowledge either, or his connection to us. To say no change in his essence fits into like a duh statement. Because the word etzem means that it relates only to itself. The essence of Hashem, by definition, can't change. Because the essence of Hashem is what Hashem is.
Right.
And that doesn't relate to anything.
Change is a creation.
It doesn't, yes. Okay? Even to say Or Ein Sof, when you say the light of the infinite one.
Yes.
So the word Or there means a revelation to someone else. That's not right. Hashem's essence.
Right.
And even to say Ein Sof,
right.
The infinite one. So infinite, I had a mathematics professor explain to me how our grasp is infinity is only just one bigger than the biggest number we could come up with.
Right. Yeah.
So, which I kind of think is like, okay, that's kind of stupid, but
yeah.
So to say that Hashem is essence doesn't change, okay, but to go so far as even to say that Hashem's das means the connection. It says that the Rambam says by Hashem knowing himself, he knows the creation, because the creation is part and parcel of Hashem, and das is translated as connection, that Hashem's connected to us. Even that doesn't change. The fact that we are here as an existing entity doesn't change Hashem at all. That's also quite a statement of the Rambam. He says in the next line, "Shakol memena ubatul b'mitzius etzlo kamo shekhozo v'Rambam zal," that everything is nullified in their existence to him. As we said last week, that we are totally and completely dependent upon the godliness enlivening us to keep us an existence as a separate existence from Hashem. Because of a Rambam, Shuhu Yedua, Hu Yedea, Hu Adea, Hashem is the knowledge, the knower, and the known. Ba'akol Echad, that is his all one, V'davar Zayin, B'kayap of Hel La'amroi, and we talked about this before. Rambam says you'll never understand it, and I'm not going to talk about it again over here. V'lola Azan Lishmaya, V'lev Ha'adam Lahakir Al-Berav, this is a straight, correct, word for word, directly taken from the Rambam in the first couple of paragraphs of the Mishnah Torah. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mahus V'Atmos V'Daita HaKol Echad Mamish Mikol Tzad Upina U'V'Chol Derech Yachid Ein Daita Dover Naisif Al Mahus V'Atmos K'mo Shehu Nefesh Adam. So as it is that Hashem and his everything, that the various characteristics that we talk about with Hashem don't add anything to Hashem, unlike it is with the soul of a person. He brings this in. Why do you have to tell me an unlike? Because we have an expression that just like it is that the soul fills the body, so too it is that Hashem fills the world. But there's a big difference because, as he said before, the soul doesn't enliven, the soul just enlivens the body. It doesn't bring the body into existence. There's two separate forces going on, soul and body. But with Hashem, Hashem is the Chayas, and Hashem is the container and the vehicle for conveying the Chayas. Then when a person says, I know something, people are born knowing nothing. Our knowledge is a composite of various bits of information.
Right.
We have figured out how to put into practical use. With Hashem, that's not the case.
Right.
With Hashem, Hashem's knowledge, this connection that Hashem has, is essentially, it is Hashem. Like I said, we talked about this before. Shaharei kisha adam leimed v'yodeya eza davar kamay haisa bay nafshay. Like, for example, when a person learns something, as it was in Nefesh HaMashkelos B'Tenem Shalamed, before he knows it, so he didn't know it. But after she learned it, he learned it v'yodeya achar shalamed v'yodeya naisef az yodeya zu b'nafshay. So now he just became smarter. He's got another bit of information in his brain. He's got another wrinkle in his brain going on over there. He's a smarter person because he has this extra piece of information, and life is grand. Okay? And so too it is with every single day a person learns something, he gets smarter every single year. This is not called the knowledge, the bits of information that we have is not totally and completely united with us. Proof, you can forget it. And you can forget it to such an extent, not that somebody will remind you and you learn it again and you'll think, you know, I never learned this ever before. And you could even make it such that you don't even remember that you even ever learned it before and you forgot it. That's how forgotten it could be.
Mm.
But with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, who act as Peshuta B'lis, Shum Harkava V'Tzad V'Riboy Klal. It's not that way at all with Hashem. Hashem is without any composition. There's no multiplicity with Hashem at all. V'im Kein Al Kein, Mahus V'Atmusa V'Daita HaKol Dover Achad Mamish B'lis Shum Harkava. If that be the case, that Hashem and His knowledge, that we said the knowledge is what brings us into existence, is nothing additional to Hashem. It's all a simple entity. Once we believe in something called Achdus Habora, the unity of Hashem. Lefichah Kishem Shiyashar L'Shum Nivra Bo'im LaHasig Mahus HaBeira V'Atzmusay Kach Yashar LaHasig Mahus V'Dato. So just as it is, we can't understand Hashem at all in His essence, so we can't understand Hashem's knowledge either. Just as we can't understand the essence of Hashem, we can't understand any attribute of Hashem as well.
Right.
Because all of Hashem's attributes are infinite, truly infinite, and truly united with Hashem.
Right.
And Hashem's knowledge doesn't add anything to Hashem. It is Hashem.
Right.
What do we have to do? Rak lahamin b'amuna. We have to believe faithfully. Shehula maila mahasechel v'hasaga. That Hashem's attributes are beyond our comprehension, beyond our intellect. Shekadosh baruch hu yachad miyuchad. And Hashem is totally united. I mean, that is technically the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael. Okay? And it expresses itself not so much as Shema Yisrael, because Shema Yisrael is easy. When you start thinking about it, there can only be one thing, there can only be absolute Shema Yisrael. Of course, there's nothing else besides Hashem.
Right.
That's easy for a person to rationalize and to conceptualize. When we come down to the Baruch Shem, which is a variance of the same theme, that even as we exist, there's still nothing that exists besides Hashem, so that's hard.
It gets a little mulky.
We have problems with that. I can understand from Hashem's point of view that the only thing the world is made up of godliness, as we talked about for six chapters. Yeah, that's easy. But now, how is it that I'm going to say that the world is totally united with Hashem as I do exist? That's tough, because I don't see that. At that point, I'm looking around and I'm saying, there is lots of stuff. And all that stuff is totally and completely dependent upon the godliness keeping it alive, specifically so. Okay. V'hu daito v'kol echad mamish v'diyasul asmai makir v'yoyde kolon imtsayim al yoyne v'takterim ha'shul shal katan sh'b'yam v'ad yitosh katan sh'ay v'tabar ha'aretz. And Hashem with his knowledge, Hashem knows everything. And he knows what everything's doing, he knows that he's in control of everything, and it makes absolutely no sense for a person to equate Hashem's relationship with the world in any other way than the way which the Baal Shem Tov conveys it. The idea of Hashgacha Prat is being on every microorganism in every unit of quantum time.
Exactly.
And the ideas that are purported by the Rambam and Sadia Gaon and the Ramban and whomever else that describes these various other, the Vilna Gaon, he's going to come up right now, the Vilna Gaon, he just takes them apart. To come up with and say that they, any of these make sense, you're going to have to do a lot of talking to me. Because if you have, for example, like a Ramban says something like this, Ashgachas Amin. Hashem decides this year on Rosh Hashanah that a million cows are going to die. They're going to get slaughtered. Okay? But he doesn't really pick out this cow or that cow because he doesn't care about cows. He knows that there's so many cows have to be consumed in the course of this year. So there's so many cows are going to be consumed. Once that number gets hit, there's no more cows going to get slaughtered. Which cow specifically gets slaughtered or not, Hashem doesn't care about that. To me, that makes absolutely no sense.
That persists.
How is it that, you know, okay, so when we get to the million, so Hashem says, oh, no more, put that knife down. What? Hello? So that means that there's a Shkacha Pratis on that next cow. There's no Hashgachas Amin on that specific cow that's not getting slaughtered. Now there's Hashgacha Pratis on that specific cow. Okay, so if that was Hashgacha Pratis on that specific cow, number 1,000,001, there has to be Hashgacha Pratis on number one, too.
It's even more severe than that, because if you're saying it's just a million, an arbitrary million, then whatever chooses cow one, whatever chooses it,
right,
is a different entity.
Yeah, you're creating pantheism over here.
You've just made duality in
correct.
Yeah, it can't.
Right, it can't. It doesn't work.
I can handle the idea of everything being Hashem. What I can't get my mind around at all is the interrelation.
Right.
I got no problem with saying this is Hashem, that's Hashem, that's Hashem. What I can't get my mind around is the own personal struggle in my own mind between my Yetzer Hara, right, Yetzer Tov, and how both of them are Hashem, and they're both struggling in me. And yes, and they're both Hashem, and that's
right.
I can't get my mind around that. That's
exactly. Well, keep trying.
Yeah. No.
And when you do, I can call you Rabbi.
Yeah.
Rabbi Akiva. Yes. Hashem is in control of the, when he says Yitush Katan Shahaya Bataba Haris, that means the smallest microorganism that is found on Earth. Hashem is in control of that.
Yeah, sure.
Every electron flying around every nucleus is doing so because Hashem is making it do that.
Yes.
You might say Hashem is OCD, but I've said that before. Vein davar me'alem minenu, nothing is hidden from Hashem, because when you say it's too small for Hashem, how are you going to say something's too small for Hashem? Because we said it's nothing displacing Hashem. Hashem is right there where that electron is. Vein yidiyazu myself is by ribay v'harkava klal, and this knowledge of this individual organism does not create multiplicity or composition at all. Miachas she'ena rak yidiyas atzmai, because Hashem knows himself. And you could give a very bad example. Okay? Everybody here has got hands. Okay? Until I just mentioned it right now, you aren't thinking about your hands.
You weren't aware of them.
But you knew that you had hands.
Sure, of course you do.
They ran themselves.
Yeah, they're doing their thing. And that's why it says that before you go daven, you have to go wash your hands, because it says daim askanias. Your hands are taking care of themselves.
They're touching, doing things, everything. Yeah,
they're touching all kinds of things that are schmutzig. You know, give a little scratch on their head, a little this over here, you know, whatever, finger there, and not, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So your hands are not something additional to you. Your hands are you.
Are you right?
But now that you're starting to think about your hands, it's just like, you know, there's this phenomenon that I learned in seventh grade that if you stare at your hand for about 30 seconds, it starts looking like a foreign object. Which is really weird. We're not going to do that now on tape, folks.
Maybe you have to get the kids to shut up.
No, this is some other seventh grade kid.
If you do that in a mirror, what, do you become a foreign object?
There you go. Maybe. There is that. There is that as well, you know. There's, there is one of those neurological things that people don't recognize themselves in mirrors, you know. Yes. We're not going to talk about them. Okay.
We perceive that our hands operate independently.
Yeah.
They don't.
Our hands is part. Our hand is us.
We perceive, you know, that the electron really exists, but it's willed to by Shem to have met, to have the appearance of mass.
Nothing independent.
The existence of the electron and its properties are all totally, completely under the auspices of Hashem. Yes. That it has whatever specific mass or lack thereof.
Right.
Well, the fish is the kashima oid, the sire besichlenu, al kain amar hanavi, the sense. This is virtually impossible for us to formulate in our brains, because what we're saying here is we're creating a dichotomy. I exist as part of Hashem.
Yeah.
What that says is I don't exist. But that's chapter 1-6.
Right.
1-6 says I don't exist. Mm. This is saying I exist.
I exist. Right.
But not as something separate from Hashem.
Right.
Right from the sun.
And that's really, really hard to understand. To say that I exist, okay, that's normal. Mm. That's what people, that's our perception. But if I want to understand how I truly exist, yeah, and I'm batel b'metzias, that I need Hashem constantly enlivening me, keeping me going, that's a tough one. That's where our emunah comes in.
The only slight mental image I can. I mean, a really bad example that
awesome,
I can.
Right? My turn.
That I can equate this to is like steam, ice, and water.
One breath.
They appear as though they're different.
Three different entities, yes. Right, but they're three different states.
Right, but it's strictly water.
It's still H2O.
Right, and it's a really bad example.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's a really bad example, but that's.
What does that tell me? How are you going to put that back into this?
Only that.
Things have different states of existence and still remain the same.
Yeah.
So we're congealed godliness. We're like ice.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I don't know. It's rotten. But I told you it's rotten.
No, like, you know. Sorry. I mean, Velveeta cheese, maybe, but, you know.
I said, I have the analogy of,
I wish I could get the Velveeta cheese.
We're like light from the sun, but the sun never ends. So we never realize.
I mean, he uses the example of the sun. He uses the example of the ray of the sun having an
existence. The sun has a surface
of its own. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
But the sun had never had a surface, and it kept going forever.
Yeah. So he says this is.
Well, the light from the sun takes, 75,000 years, for a ray, for the energy that the sun, when the sun has a nuclear reaction and light is emitted.
Takes 75,000 years? 1,000
years for it to get out the surface, because it keeps bouncing inside, sliding inside. So it actually takes it many thousands of years to get out.
And only, okay.
Not because it's a long path out, but because it keeps bouncing and going in and reflecting and going.
So, okay, so the sun, when it was created 5,000 years ago, must have been like 75,000 years old or something.
Like, yeah. Well, 78,000. Like,
you know, well, yeah, a couple of years.
But the point is, we don't. If the sun never had a surface, if we can imagine the sun.
Sun does have a surface.
If we can imagine a sun without a surface and we were the light from that sun, we could be like Hashem. We are part of Hashem. We're like the light.
But that's been emitted,
yes. We've never left the sun. No one could. We think we exist, but we don't really exist. We only exist as part of the light of the sun. The sun's still there.
You're stuck in chapter 4.
Maybe I'm stuck in chapter 4, but I
well, shut up. Those are easy to understand. Compared to this, that's easy. Okay, to say that the only thing that exists is Hashem is quite easy to say.
Yeah.
But to say that I exist and am totally nullified in my existence to Hashem, that, the Alter Rebbe just said, is Emunah.
Yeah.
I have no way of.
I don't need faith in God. I need faith that I exist.
Yes. Right. Do I believe in God? So believe in God? No. Do I believe in me? Yeah, I believe in me.
That's a little questionable. Yeah.
I believe in me. Yes. As it says, that just as the heaven is above the earth, so too is are my ways, with a capital M, higher than your ways, lower Y. Mm-hmm. My thoughts from your thoughts. It says, if you search for God, will you find him? But the answer to that question is yes.
Yes, now. Because he decided.
Yes. If you go looking for Hashem, yes, you will find him. You will find him in everywhere.
Yes.
That is, he said before, that a person sees and he knows that this is a this, and that's only because of the composite information which he has, which has become part of him. But Hashem only knows that which exists. Hashem knows that which exists because he knows himself, and that's where the Rambam ends. And in this bracket, at the end, at this little section over here, the Alter Rebbe again is able to throw in this note, which appears about six times in Tanya. The first time it appeared was in chapter 2 of Tanya, and it appeared again later on in discussion in the 50s. It appears here. It also appears, I believe it's in chapter 12 as a note, and then again, chapter 12, and then it appears in Shari and Geras HaKadosh also. What's the deal? Is that the Rambam and the Maral of Prague had a philosophical difference as to the relationship that Hashem has with this world.
Mm.
The Rambam says that Hashem is the knowledge, the knower, and the known. The Maral of Prague says that Hashem is much higher than knowledge, knower, and known. And this was an argument between the two schools that went on for a couple hundred years.
Higher meaning what?
Higher than knowledge. Hashem is not limited. To say that Hashem is knowledge, knower, and known, you're limiting Hashem.
Okay, fine.
So Hashem is infinitely higher than knowledge, knower, and known. And Rambam's calling him knowledge, knower, and known.
Okay.
So the Alter Rebbe came and said in chapter 2, and he repeats it throughout the Tanya, that when Hashem is enclosed in the spheres of Atzilus and wants to relate to us, then you could say Hashem is knowledge, knower, right, and known. But Hashem, right, in his essence, when it's not enclosed and contained, limited by the spheres of Atzilus, and it wants to convey any type of anything to anybody, Hashem is infinitely higher.
Sure, of course.
So Hashem could do anything he wants, and who's going to stop him? So now, in chapter 2, this is actually one of my favorite parts in the whole Tanya right now, coming up this next line, next couple of lines. Chapter 2 of Tanya, he discussed there the people that he refers to as the Minim, the heretics, referring to Greek philosophy, Aristotle.
Yes.
And said that he gave a whole problem because he gave a whole example of a flying rock. We gave the example of the flying rock. We gave the whole thing about the letters of speech of Hashem, and that if the letters were to be removed, the thing would cease to exist as though it never existed before. And it said, now we'll understand where the mistake was with these heretics, that they made a mistake, and because they're stupid, and compared the creation to the creating of a cup.
Right.
But that's only just a rearranging of a something to into a something else.
Right, right.
And that's why the cup doesn't need to have the smith keep hacking it to keep it in existence.
Right.
But Hashem has taken a nothing and made it into a something. And therefore there has to be a constant energy
effort, right,
keeping the something a something so it doesn't revert back to the nothing.
Yeah, effort's a bad word.
Okay? Constant input.
Yeah, constant willing.
So now, this section, since we're talking about how we do exist, here he's taking to task the Kabbalah of the Vilna Gaon, people associate the Vilna Gaon as being this great person with the Gemara, you know, the Hagos Agro on the side of the book over there. And you have a thing on the Shulchan Aruch that he has his Epirush on the Vilna Gaon. And everybody assumes, and he's looked upon as being like the head misnagid against Chassidus. And a lot of people just don't know that he wrote more about Kabbalah than he did about Gemara.
Wow.
Now, but there was a problem. What's the problem? The Vilna Gaon got the name, the title Gaon, which I don't even know how you really would translate that specifically, that word Gaon, because we don't have those in English. It doesn't mean genius, it's beyond genius. So the Vilna Gaon got that title because of his intellectual stature.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very smart person, to say the least. For me to say that the Vilna Gaon was smart is actually a step down uh-huh. from exactly what he was.
Uh-huh.
You know, so... So who's going to teach the Vilna Gaon? The word Kabbalah, which means received,
mm-hmm.
in order for a person to learn the esoteric parts of the Torah, he has to learn it from a teacher. Has to be that way.
Yeah. Okay.
A person can't just cold go and open up a book.
Yeah.
For sure not. I know that when I was in learning in Teferis Bukhurim, so a remedial yeshiva, okay? So you'd have these Israelis that come in, and they spoke Hebrew fluently. And so they'd sit down with an Eitz Chaim from the Arizal, okay? And they'd start flying around over there. Wow! We got the small faces, and we got the long faces, and we got the holy apple orchards, and we got, you know, the mother and the father and the divine presence over here. You know, you got a whole family over here going on over there. Not a clue did they understand what they were reading. Okay? The Zeranpin. Oh, yes, the small faces of God. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay? Not a clue. So, because a person needs to have a teacher explain it to them. Reb Yol Kahn, who's the Rebbe's Chaser for 40-something years... was also to say this gentleman is brilliant. He's an autophonic memory. Remembered everything that the Rebbe said. Okay. He was in Israel. I believe he was in Sfat. I don't know when this happened, this story. And he walks into some base measures. It might have been the Arizal Shul. And there's some Sephardi guy wearing white begot him over there, you know, the robe, the whole business, and he's sitting there, he's learning something in this case. He's talking about, as he's reading it through, and he's talking about he's Kalalus. He's Kalalus is translated, I translated it incorporation. Okay? And it is the way in which the spheres interact one with the other, mm-hmm. to such an extent that there is no contradiction between one sphere to another. So here's this little Sephardi guy is saying, he's kalalus this, he's kalalus this. So he stopped and said, he asked the guy, Maze he kalalut. What does that word mean that you're saying he's kalalus? So just to see what this guy would respond. So the guy started making with his hands like he's like kneading dough or whatever, and he finally said, you know, come on, salad. It's like Hashem made a salad, you know? It's just like everything's all together. So he said, yeah, okay, good. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, I'm not doubting the piety of this Sephardi over here or his knowledge either. It's just that you really need to have someone teaching you Kabbalistic terminology.
Right.
And the Mishnah says that these type of things, these esoteric things, they should be learned either one-on-one or two-on-one. So that people don't make a mistake. If you have three people there already, it's possible somebody's daydreaming and he's going to hear a half of a something. And the rabbi who's teaching it is not going to catch it. This guy isn't paying attention.
And he goes off all messed up.
And then all that's going to happen, he's going to walk out, he's going to be thinking about God, something which is closer to idolatry than it is about the Kabbalah. So the Vilna Gaon did not have a teacher, and he made a mistake in translation. And this is what he says now. Hine mekan yesh lahavin shkagus mitzksas chachamim be'eneyem Hashem yichaper ba'adam. Now we'll understand the error, unintentional error, that some chacham made, and Hashem should forgive him for it. Shishana v'ta'a b'inyani kisva Arizal, that he made a mistake in how he translated the words of the Arizal. He didn't do it intentionally. He wasn't trying to create something that wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu never heard. About the inyan atzimtzum hamuzkar shan kipshutai, that translates the words concerning tzimtzum, the whole concept of tzimtzum, to be simply mean. What's the word there? The word is siluk. Siluk means to remove. And the way that you would translate this is that Hashem removed himself in order to create, to make a creation. So if not having a teacher explain to me what that means, and I know how to read Hebrew, what does that mean to me? That, and there's something called the chalal, there's a void, that there's no godliness in the world. So what the relationship that Hashem has with the world is only superficial, it's only external.
Right.
And he's not going to go into the whole thing of whether it's, you know, Hashem is big enough or small enough to get into a... That's not what he's working on. He's working on Kabbalah.
Right, right.
The Kabbalah says, he's not arguing. I believe what the Rizal says. The Rizal says that Hashem removed himself in order to make a creation. Okay? What was the ramification of this little mistake? In translation,
that's huge.
The ramification was a philosophy called Hashgacha Klalis, and the Vilna Gaon students did not believe in Hashgacha Pratis because Hashem did not, according to the Kabbalah, the reason explained by the Vilna Gaon, Hashem did not bring himself into this world. He was mitzabsem umistalik. He contracted himself and removed himself from the world. And so how do things exist? Hashem got the whole thing up, got it running, and said, okay, you're good.
There it is.
There it is. Avraham Lipsker.
Aristotle.
It's very close.
Exactly. That's almost Aristotle.
It's very, right. Very close.
See, the Rambam says there's no wrong.
Yeah, that's right. So Avraham Lipsker would buy his pipe up. He should be healthy and live till 120 and not fight there.
Oh, man.
He would... for Brangens, he would tear into this philosophy. And he'd look at somebody and said, do you know what one of the followers of the Vilna Gaon would say? If you need to do an Avera, go into the bathroom. Since it's a makam tummy, tuma, it's an impure place, there's no mezuzah on the door, so Hashem isn't in the bathroom. Okay, now I always took this as a grain of salt, because it makes... As a 17-year-old kid hearing this, I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. And always took it as, oh, this is a Fabrangan, and of course we're going to go bash Masnagdim, because we know we're Chassidim, we're greater, and we have to keep on telling ourselves we're greater. Okay, we're greater, fine, next, move on. Till when I moved to this city, this wonderful city of ours, back in 1988, I had some time... which I wanted to devote to the learning of Gemara, and found it great difficulty to find somebody to learn at 9 o'clock in Gemara, 9 until 10, to learn Gemara with me. So I went over to one of the fine institutions of higher learning, not Lubavitch, in the city, and found somebody, a very nice, Ehrlich younger man, and we sat and we learned Gemara, and we learned maybe close to 3 years. We finished, what did we finish? We finished Masechta Sukkah, Masechta Shavuos, and maybe something else, and then it fell apart because he got busy, I got busy. Okay? So it once happened that we're supposed to start at 9 o'clock. Once happened, we both got there at 9:10. We got to the door. He's coming from one end. I'm coming from the other end. And I said, oh, Hashkacha Pratis, we're both late. So he says to me, there's no such thing as Hashkacha Pratis. I said, what are you talking about? He says, it's only Hashkacha Klalis. So I said to him, wait a minute. If you have to do an Avera, where do you do it? And he said, in the bathroom. So I said, we're not learning Gemara today. I went back to my car, and I got my chitas with the Tanya, and I opened up to right here, okay? And I said, he said, what can I do? He said, I learned in Lakewood, and this is what they taught me. Bigger rabbis than me. Big rabbis, people called Gedolim Hadir. This is what they believe, that Hashem is out there, and if you have to do an Avera, go do it in the bathroom. Okay? That was 1990, because shortly after that we stopped learning. That would have been 1991, beginning of 1992. Okay? And we went our separate ways. So it once happened a couple of years later, maybe 3 years later, but 1995. So I'm standing in line in some place, in some store. Okay? And I walk in, I'm standing there, and he turns around and he goes, oh, Hashkacha Pratis. And I said, what's this, you Hashkacha Pratis? And he says, yeah, the guys in Lakewood changed their minds. So we see from this one erroneous translation, there was a mistaken philosophy that was in development and maintained, and people believed it, because they didn't stop to think, hello, for probably more than 200 years.
Yeah.
And there are still people. There was a young woman who just got engaged. She's 22 years old. 10 years ago, I helped the father write the bat mitzvah speech. Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago is 2003.
Yes.
And the father was a student at a Baal Tshuva yeshiva in Jerusalem, and they taught him about Hashgacha Klalis, and somebody came that year, even a couple of weeks before the bat mitzvah, and gave a whole shiur on the ins and outs of Hashgacha Klalis and how it works. Uh-huh. And he came to me because he had been learning with me Chumash, and I would talk to him, I started with Breishis, and I talked to the whole idea of Hashgacha. He said, I'm getting confused now. So in 2003, there are still people, I don't know what's going on now, there are still people in the world that adhere to this philosophy which is based on an error in translation. That's why it says you have to learn it with one, either one-on-one or two-on-one. One-on-two. Mm. So that you don't come up with this mistake. Yeah, that Hashem removed his being chas v'sholom from the world. The Alter Rebbe is very, very, very sparsely uses the term chas v'sholom.
Mm.
I remember in a Tanya class that one of the way the tiny class started is we'd sit down, we'd open up a book, and the rabbi would look and say, okay, read yesterday's section that we learned yesterday.
Mm.
Okay? So he's reading a section, he came across it, da-da-da, chas v'sholom, da-da-da-da. So the rabbi stopped him and said, does it say there chas v'sholom? He said, no. He said, if the Alter Rebbe didn't put a chas v'sholom in, why are you putting a chas v'sholom in? Okay? So we're turning the page that Hashem watches from above. He's watching over these individual creatures from the heavens above and on the earth below. Okay, that's the philosophy. Hashem's out there watching us down here. First of all, why doesn't it make any sense? Is because Hashem is called a kol yachol. That's one of those philosophy terms. Hashem can do anything. Since Hashem can do anything, he can't remove himself. Figure that one out. Wait a minute, you just said he could do anything. So if Hashem could do anything, he cannot make himself not. Because if he makes himself not, then he's not a kol yachol anymore. This is what you call metaphysical jumble. Okay, this is mental twisting.
Right.
But that's exactly the way it is, and you can just have to sit there and think about it until you untie that knot in your own mind, because I can't say it any better.
I can't think of anything in the universe that Hashem isn't in.
Exactly. Because Hashem can do
anything.
This is the thing.
Comes from
because Hashem people. Can do anything, Hashem cannot make himself not.
Right.
Because if Hashem were to make himself not, then he wouldn't be a Kol Yachal anymore.
Right. Right. Correct.
Okay? So to say, to translate the word, now, I'm not the Vilna Gaon. And I understand that.
Yeah.
And as a 17-year-old, first hearing about the concept of Hashgacha Klalis and saying, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I have enough problems with Hashgacha Pratis, but, you know, at least that I can understand that Hashem's so compulsively dependent on us, on our existence, that, you know, he's got to be involved with every microorganism. But to say that Hashem is out there and not here doesn't make any sense. Because he says, that's Makariya Gufsh Alakadosh Baruch Hu. That's ascribing human characteristics to Hashem.
Right, 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 right.
I can remove myself from the room and you won't see me.
That's idolatry.
And you know what? And I won't be here. If I pick myself up right now and go into the other room and you look at my chair and you see that I'm not there, it's for a very good reason.
Because
I'm not there.
Right.
But Hashem is not here, not because he's not here. He's not here because he can't...
Because he's here.
Because you can't see him.
Right.
Okay? And as if I put my hand in front of my face and said, I'm hiding. That's what Hashem is doing. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can't see Hashem because Hashem doesn't want you to see him. But he's still here. And he says, there's no way comparable to describe the difference between me removing myself from Hashem and Hashem not being able to remove himself. It's not even in the same subject. He wasn't thinking. Because for sure, since he was Jewish, they for sure believers, the sons of the believers. Every Jew has got it written in their genetic code.
Right.
Shakarish Baruch Hu Yoyde Kol HaYotzim Shebo'ilam Hazeh HaShefel Mashgiach Aleihem. Okay, Hashem knows everything in this world, this low world, and he's watching over them, because for sure the Vilna Gaon learned the Rambam too, right at the beginning there. Because as the Rambam said, and as we just said before, that we do not create a multiplicity in Hashem. Hashem knows us because he knows himself, the same way like I know my hand because it's my hand. Because Hashem, his essence, his being, his knowledge, soul, so to speak, are all one thing. If you want to go look it up, it says in the Zohar, there's no place void of Hashem, not in the upper worlds, not in the lower worlds. You could ask it ready to hit it. It should say it the other way. There's no place void of Hashem, not in the lower worlds, and even not in the upper worlds. Okay? So, no, because if you're looking from our perception, right. To say that Hashem is, you have the angels up there, and they're saying Kaddish, 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 because they know there's Hashem someplace, they just can't find him. Okay, so there's Hashem is there, and he's not. There's no place void of him. But down here in this world, where we have the various principles of thermodynamics, and Newton's rules of physics over there with, you know, that no two things can occupy the same space, I must therefore, the way it appears, must be, just as I'm displacing air, I'm also displacing Hashem. So comes along the Zohar and says, Leis asar pani mene. There's no place void of Hashem. Oberai mehemna parshas pinchas, iu tafis bekula veleis ma de tafis be. As the rhyme of the Zohar says over there, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this part, that Hashem grasps everything and nothing grasps Hashem. He is soviv kol olim, Hashem encompasses all the world, he fills all the worlds. And there's nothing outside of Hashem's domain. Levar iu, and there's only him, he's mamali kol olim, iu makashir, muyuchad, zina, lezina, ilan, v'tatayin. that Hashem is connected in all aspects from the top to the bottom. And Hashem, he's like right in the middle of the whole deal. Okay? So that what is he saying? What is the Raya Mehemna saying? Is that it's correct to say that God is this, fill in the blank, this cup, this table, this whatever. It would be incorrect to say this whatever is God.
Is God, right, yeah.
Do that, that's called idolatry.
Oops.
That's why you got to pay attention, you know. You can't have too many people sitting around when you're talking these highfalutin fancy concepts. Right. Okay, because someone's going to get confused. Did he say that this is God is okay? Yeah, okay, this is God, okay? Hi, this thing is God, yes. I will now worship it because it is God. Mm-hmm. No, God is it because it doesn't, Hashem knows of its existence, and by Hashem knowing of its existence makes it exist as an entity. When it says in Raya Mehemna, Laist man de taf is bay, that nothing can grasp Hashem. She'ein mi she'yitvas b'hasagis seichloi mikol sichloim al yoinim amohus of asmus shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that no entity having any type of, no organism having any type of intellect, no matter how sublime that intellect may be and how much perception that intellect may have, is leis man de taf is bay. No one's going to be able to grasp Hashem. Another spell, leis makshav of tisvisa beklal. No thought can grasp Hashem. The Alter Rebbe talked about that before. Abu meru'usa deliba tefasta, but from the depth of your heart you can grasp Hashem. Mm-hmm. If you get your brain out of the way and relate with your essence to Hashem's essence, since your essence is Hashem's essence, so then you can appreciate Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
As it says in Tikkunim, which again back to the Zohar, Stima de kol stimoin v'leis machshava tefisa beklal. Hashem is the hidden of most hidden, meaning that Hashem is not an entity which would allow itself to be revealed. We say Stima de kol stimoin, that he's the hidden of all hidden, means that there is no concept of revelation there whatsoever.
Mm.
This is not something which is revealable, something which is relatable. That's why it says there's no thought can grace him. V'gam b'tachtenim. Afal gav the iyum ha'malikolim. And then he continues. Even though Hashem fills the world, ein ha'kenishma sa'adam teich gufa. It's not like a soul filling a body. Shehu nitvesis teich guf. Now that the soul is so much affected by the body. Akshem yispa'elis ha'makabelis shinuyin kishuni ha'guf. That the soul feels all the different things that are happening to the body. Tzarei, mahakai, so it feels the pain when it gets hit. Or kriyos, it feels cold. Or chamimai, seish, or it feels the heat of the fire. Ukiyasi b'zeh. So it says that a small hole in the body causes a giant hole in the soul. Mashen king b'arach kadosh baruch hu, which is not the case with Hashem. She'ein makabel shum shinim and shinim olam azeh mekayis l'charef miyayim v'layla. It doesn't matter to Hashem. Is it cold? Is it hot? Hashem's not getting cold. We don't have global warming now because Hashem says, you know, I'm just too big to put on a sweater.
Yeah.
So
a little short on wool these years.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, Hashem doesn't get hot or cold. This doesn't get dark or light for Hashem. V'gam choshech l'yashik mimcha v'layla ki yam yar. It says that darkness is in dark before you, and the light shines like day. L'fisha eina nitfas klal teich olam ha'is. Because Hashem is not grasped by the worlds. The worlds don't have a handle on Hashem.
No.
Hashem has a handle on us, but we don't have a handle on us. Afal gav the chiddush being, afal gav the mamala line, even though Hashem's in them. So Hashem is, where is Hashem? You'll point in any direction. That's where Hashem will be. But we haven't got a clue by looking at it.
Yes.
Zogam kein inyan seviv kol olam. I think we might just stop here at this point. Zogam kein inyan seviv kol olam. And we will leave the end of chapter 7 to this. So we're at the bottom of page 316, last line. To be continued.
Mm-hmm.